Woe to the teachers of the law, the day of the saints is here. Woe to the
Welcome to God News Network, where the saints are rising, where we are here to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints.
Are you a saint? How do you find out? By listening to God News Network. I want to thank all of you for joining us this beautiful Sunday. My name is Saint Rick, and I am so excited and honored to be here and truly humbled that I get to share the news with you that is above all news, the information that is above all information, and the only information that will truly make a difference in the real world. There is what's called the temporal world, which is everything that you see around you, everything you hear, everything you touch. That is not real. That is a temporal world. Anything that can be burned with fire is not real. It's those things that cannot be burned with fire that is real. And you know what that is? That's you, your spirit. That is Christ. That is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that is what we discuss here. It's God news. And we are going to deal with news of the world and how God is affected and how God affects the news around the world. And today, as you realize by the title, this is going to deal with politics, religion, it's going to deal with world order, and it's going to deal with the coming of Christ. With that, I've got my good friend, my brother, my companion, and my friend. That would be St. Albert from South Carolina. How are you, brother?
Good, Rick. Beautiful day out here again. 41 degrees. Good riding weather. Zero wind. And that's what I'm going to be doing afterwards.
No wind out there, huh?
No wind.
No wind through your hair. Of course, you wear your helmet, so therefore yeah. You don't have to worry about that. Well, I tell you what, I'm excited because today is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I am really excited about the opportunity to share some really interesting information. So based upon what we're discussing today, Albert, discussing all the things that really are putting stress upon those who are not in the secret place, and it's putting no stress on those who are. What in the world does that mean, and how does that apply, and what does it mean that all the people are being stressed? What is stressing out the flesh?
Well, Rick, you know, the Bible has talked about that. God has said himself that in the last days, there's going to be people with heart attacks out there. Their hearts giving out, you know, because of the things to come. You know, it's real easy to get caught up on this, Rick. You know, if the people out there think that on Tuesday, all the problems of the world will either be over or will, you know, will be at peace, that's an erroneous thinking. The system of this world will continue on, and the attack that has always had since the beginning of the world towards the saints and towards God. It doesn't matter who's up there, whether either of our candidates are up there. This system is bigger than any of those people out there, whether Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump. It's a big system. And this system has been generated from years. And if we have to learn where our peace comes from, you know, Rick, because if we don't learn that, and we don't take that at heart, we're going to be just washed away by the waves of this world, you know, and they're hard waves. I mean, they're not little waves, they're hard waves, and they're going to move you and toss you all over the place. Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton, they're just little ones in this in this thing that's happening, not just in the United States and all over the world. And you see a lot of people out there, Rick, that they're fighting against the system and they're protesting the system, but yet they really don't know what the system is. They think that they're protesting people. And that's not right. This is a government, a demonized government by Satan that really is under control of everything that's going down here. Now, of course, they really don't have any control. God has just left them to do what they wish for a season, so he could show the world, show the saints who they really are. And it's a shame because, you know, we go to the wrong places all the time for quietness, for security, for peace. You know, the governments, if you go to the governments, Rick, as you know, they offer you a lot of things, or they say that they offer you a lot of things. You know, the United States government now, they're telling you that that they're going to have, you know, peace, and that you're going to have more security here with social services, and they're going to take care of you. Uncle Sam is going to take care of you, and so forth. And people start to rely on the government, and pretty sure, you know, as we saw, those services really don't help you at all. You know, I mean, we found that out with Obamacare, you know, that they claimed that it was going to help the middle class. Well, the middle class can't even afford Obamacare. There's just so many things that they promise you, and they're dead promises. But what happens with people is that they say, okay, the government is not going to help us. So let's turn into the religion sect, you know, the big cathedrals that we have in churches, and those leaders that we have in churches, and they're the ones who are going to help us. Let's go over there and seek their help, right? And so they go into this mega churches and all that, and they find out that the same thing happens as a government, that they really, there's no love, just like the government, there's no love. They need assistance, and there's no assistance. Most of the time what they're asking for is money for building bigger buildings and all that. And some of them are even, some of those leaders are super rich. But yet the saints and the people who are seeking out are desperate. And so you see those people going from church to church to church to church. And some of them in their lifetime have gone probably to 20 churches in their lifetime. And still they haven't found what they have been looking for, which is peace, which is somebody to come in and hug them and say, you're mine. And the reason is because, Rick, they're looking in the wrong spots. They're looking at the wrong spots. Those churches and those governments are part of the system of this world.
Well, you mentioned something that, Albert, you know, that is so, so true. When people are faced with a problem, they seek out man for a solution. Now, the man can be in government. The man can be in, and I'm using man as mankind, not, you know, gender friendly, just towards men. But they seek mankind for the answer. Government, church, religion, pastor, things like that. Don't get me wrong. It is good to seek the counsel. It talks about that in the Bible. But you have to decide whom you're seeking counsel from. There's someone you can turn to that is available to you 24/7. That is your first place to turn to. And as your relationship grows, you're going to realize he has all the answers. If we look at Psalms 118:8, it says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Because people put confidence in man to solve their problems. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. So even the kings of the church, the kings of the governments, the kings around the world, you know, it's better to trust in the Lord and not even in yourself, because you think you might have the answers. You may think you might have all the right things to do. But there is distress coming upon the nations. And we're going to look in Luke where it says, when the disciples got together and they asked him, saying, "Master, but when shall all these things be? And what sign will there be when these things come to pass?" These things haven't been or haven't come to pass at this time. But let's see what he says. He says, "Take heed." Now, when Christ himself says, "Take heed," that's usually you want to take heed, right? "That you may not be deceived." So the first thing that's going to happen is there's going to be great deception on the earth, and you don't want to be deceived. Don't put your hope in Donald Trump. Don't put your hope in Hillary Clinton. They're not going to get you there. It's just not going to happen. They're man. It's better to trust in the Lord. Even though God uses mankind to achieve the tasks at hand, you don't trust in the man. You don't trust in the woman. "For many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and the time draws near. Go ye not after them. But when ye shall hear of wars, commotions, be not terrified. For these things must first come to pass, but the end is not near." Okay? "Then said he unto them, 'Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. Great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, and famines, pestilences, fearful sights, great signs, and there shall be from heaven.'" Now, these things have been happening for a while, but they're on an increase dramatically. "But before all of these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts not to meditate before what you're going to answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay or resist. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents, brethren, kinsfolks, friends. Some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not an hair of your head perish." Very good. That's that secret place. "In your patience possess ye your souls. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. For there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon his people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draws near." That's what's coming.
That is powerful, Rick. Powerful. Yes.
So what is politics how can we look at politics and say, this is fitting with what the word says and what's going on? Have you ever seen more corruption in your lifetime than what we're being revealed right now by one of our presidential candidates?
It's amazing, Rick. It's not just corruption. You know, people think that the corruption has just been revealed here in the United States. But you remember what happened to England and what's happening to Europe. And there's a lot of nations up there that, I think it was even Iceland that they threw out their official there because he had put money in the corruption with the Panama Papers. They caught him with putting money over there without paying taxes. I mean, this corruption now is what is showing all over the world. And it doesn't matter where you go in the world. It's the same corruption. And people are waking up to this corruption. But the thing is that they're not waking up as to what is this corruption. They think it's just, a physical corruption. They don't know that this corruption is a spiritual corruption. And with that here, it also talks about, you know, we're talking here in Luke here, it talks about also the spiritual corruption of the churches. You know, there's many that will come in and say that I am Christ. What it's actually saying there is where other places where it says that they will come in my name and they will do miracles in my name and they will do this in my name and they will do that in my name. And that, you know, he says it very clear that at the end he will say, you know, get away from me, you workers of iniquity or evil workers. I never knew you. And that's what's occurring in and also in the religion realm here in the United States. For those who think that we have here the basic God is all over, you know, and all these buildings made out of stone, they're crazy. That's all they are. There's buildings made out of stone. There's nothing holy about those buildings. The people who are holy, what's holy is the people inside that have Christ in them. That's what's holy. There's nothing holy about those buildings at all.
And you said it really clearly a while ago where you were talking about they don't even know who the enemy is. And it is, we wrestle not, as it says in Ephesians 6:12 here, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And the principalities and against powers and rulers of the darkness of this world, it's demons and flesh, you know, that are in charge in governments that are doing wrong things against the people and against human beings and blood sacrifices and children being abused and things that are just horrid that you can't even imagine the ugliness that's going on. So you go, how can anybody be that evil? It's evil itself. It's the armies of evil, the spiritual powers of evil, the wickedness in heavenly places and high places. They truly are of a realm that is controlling the stuff that's happening on earth. Right now, who's in charge? The prince of the air, right?
Yeah. And, you know, there's something that is said that most people, don't think about it. That it says, it's an old saying of man that says, history turns to repeat itself, okay? And a lot of us, we don't know a lot of times how the future is going to hold out with the governments and with religion and all of that and what's going to come. How's it going to look like when we're almost near when the Son of Man or Christ will come back again to the earth? It's real easy because that's happened before. You see, this is not the first time that the Son of Man has come to the earth. This is going to be the second and last time. And so what can we expect? Well, we could expect it exactly what happened in the first time. You know, in the first time, Rick, the devil and his angels knew about the coming of man, about Christ coming to the earth, and they were prepared. And so they're going to be prepared this time again. And how were they prepared? where it says that there was a war in heaven. Well, not really. It says that the devil, the serpent, got his tail and unleashed one-third of the angels, which were the demons, into the earth. And why were they doing that? They were preparing for the Son of Man to appear in the earth. And what did they do? Well, let's see what they did. Those demons were involved with municipalities. Remember King Herod and all that? They wanted to kill Jesus. They killed the innocents of those kids because they thought that he was going to be killed with them. They followed and persecuted Jesus almost all the way to the end, just like his disciples. So there you're looking at what we're going to be seeing at the end of the world, the persecution of the disciples until the Son of Man comes. But that didn't stay there. What did the demons and the principalities of this world did also? Well, you remember the Jewish people. You remember the leaders of the church. What were they doing? They were scheming to kill Jesus too. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were all scheming to kill Jesus. And you could see that throughout the history of the four Gospels, Luke, Matthew, the four Gospels have a history of this. Jesus Christ coming to them and telling them, why are you trying to kill me? Are you trying to kill me because of the miracles that I've been trying to do? And they told him outright, no, we come to kill you because you make yourself equal as God. So they knew the message. They knew the message that Jesus Christ was saying. And for those of you who think that the Jews were trying to kill Jesus Christ for something else, they weren't. They were killing him because he was making himself be God. So the persecution, you could see the persecution there of the religious people, and you could see the persecution of the governments towards Jesus and their people. And that's what we're going to expect to see at the end of the days. Jesus Christ going, if you remember, Jesus Christ going to the temple and basically saying to them that God is not there in that temple anymore, you know? Well, we could see that in the end of days, too, God coming to all these so-called Christian temples that we have all over the place and telling them Jesus Christ is not there. Why? Because I am the Christ. They're not there. He's not there. He's not there. Don't be cheated. Don't be cheated. You're looking at Christ in the wrong places. You got to look at God and the gospel. And look at him in your heart and make sure that you're following the right gospel. You know, we talked about in Isaiah, Rick, I think it was Isaiah, was it 16? I mean, 28. Yeah, 28. Let's see. Look at it.
Well, while you're looking at that, I'm going to take us to somewhere here where it says in Psalms 82, it says, these are some things in Psalms 82 that we are to do. Okay, you and me, if you're a saint, you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So if you're part of the body of Christ, this is in Psalms. God stands, let me just go to the New King James just so it's easier to follow for everybody. Okay. God stands in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods. How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Defend the poor and the fatherless.
Do justice to the afflicted and the needy. Deliver the poor and the needy. Free them from the hand of the wicked. They do not know, nor do they understand. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of earth are unstable. I said, you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But you shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. He says, you are gods. And then John says, the Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself God, like what you were just saying. Okay.
Yeah. So
they're wanting to get Christ for this, right? Jesus answered them, saying this, is it not written in your law, I said, you are gods? If he called them gods to whom the word of God came and the scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I said I am the Son of God? If you do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Interesting.
Yeah. Can you imagine, Brother Rick, can you imagine if they try to stone him and they killed him and everything because he said this? Can you imagine when the sons of God, which is the church, when they come to the revelation that they too are gods? Not like the new world, this new world order calls us, you know, they try to put us gods apart from God. In other words, or self-righteousness and what the devil told Adam and Eve, that they could become gods in their own efforts and their own selves. But what the truth is about the gospel is that we are gods. Why are we gods? Because we are part of God. Because we're his feet. We are his body. We're sitting in the throne with God right now. Can you imagine when we start saying that we have the righteousness of God already? That we are part of God's family? Not just literally, but actually, we are God's family. We're part of the Trinity. Can you imagine when you start saying all this to the religious world, what they will do to you?
What they did to him, right?
The same thing that they did to them. They're going to persecute us. They're going to persecute us whenever we say that we're not sinners, that we have the holiness of God, that we are part of God. You know, I mean, you remember Jesus Christ's prayer that he says, God, just like we are one, let them be one with us. He's not talking about thoughts, about being one in thoughts or in actions. He's talking about literally being one with them. Yeah. That's throughout the whole gospel. When this knowledge gets out there to the religious world, there's going to be people persecuted. Try to say all this in the church and see if you're not persecuted or you're not thrown out of the church. They'll call you a heretic. And if they had a stone in their hand, they will throw that stone to kill you. Don't think that this is something that's taken lightly in the churches, because it's not taken lightly in the churches. It doesn't matter which church you go to. You could even go to an evangelical church and you're going to get the same treatment. So be careful, because this right here is the truth.
Yes. You know? And here it says in Romans 8:19, related to we are, like you just said, we are gods. It says, for the creation, all of creation waits with eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to vanity, not of its own will, but because of him who subjected it in hope. that the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of decay into the liberty of the glory of the children of God. Now think about this decay thing. For our 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 51 talks about how our corruptible becomes incorruptible. That's our body. And it says decay. Why are we decaying? It's because of the flesh. We're dying in the flesh, but we will get a new body. It says, for we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. Not only so, but ourselves also who have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for adoption, the redemption of our new body. There it is. And this is Romans in chapter 8. New beginnings is the number 8. I think it's no accident that it's in Romans 8 that he talks about this new beginning with our new body. We are sons of God. It is time that we take authority as such on this planet. We are to rule with Christ on this planet. When? Now. Yeah. It is done. He did it at the cross. It's all done. Why are we not ruling? We don't want to offend the wicked. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing is that look at the things that we are learned, we're taught in the churches, okay? How can you be a ruler and how can you understand that you are a ruler? They're telling you that you're a sinner. In other words, what they're telling you is that you're unqualified to rule, okay, as a God, okay? How can you rule with God? If they're telling you that you're always lacking something, just remember who told you, who said that they were lacking something? Who was it in the beginning of Genesis? It was the devil. You guys are lacking something, right? So who's saying now that we're lacking something? It's religion in the churches. They're always saying that you're lacking something. The sinners are lacking something, you see? So, who's saying, you know, there's a big word out there, you know, that they use all the time. And that word is that, you know, that you're becoming like Christ. In other words, sanctification, right? Well, what is sanctification according to the religion realm? Well, sanctification is a process in which by your good works, right, you're going to get to the stature of God, right? Who is the one who says that?
Religion.
Religion, it's not God. No. What does God say about sanctification? That you are sanctified.
When? Really, at the cross.
At the cross. And really, the word sanctification is not what they're using there. Sanctification, all it is the same thing as iglesia, which is church, you know, saints. All that means is set apart, that you have been set apart from Christ. But yet, religion, what do they use that word for? They use the word to help the devil a bit. How do they help the devil? Because they're telling you that there's still something missing, that what Christ accomplished in the cross is not actually done, that you have not been set holy, you're not completely holy, that there's still some works that you have to do in order to become holy. You're still working in the holiness. You see, don't think that I'm talking about the Catholic Church. I'm also talking about the Evangelical Church.
That's right. Because the Evangelical Churches are just as guilty. If they're teaching religion, they're teaching law, they're teaching that you're not sanctified at this point. When you teach that someone is not sanctified who is a believer in Jesus Christ, you're saying that Jesus didn't sanctify them. You're saying that they have to be sanctified through some effort, through some ability of them with your approval. Are you kidding me? Better wake up, Mr., Mrs., whoever you are that are teaching those kinds of things. Let's look and see what the Word of God says. Here's 87 verses that talks about sanctification. It says, 1 Corinthians 6:11, such were some of you, but you were washed. But you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. Romans 8:9-11. However, you are not in the flesh,
but in the spirit. When did that occur? It's when you accepted Jesus Christ, you're no longer in the flesh. It's kind of like this. Here you are, you're alive. You died, and then immediately the spirit rose you, sanctified and justified. Now you have changed. Even though you may not recognize, where's my gold suit? Where's my wand? Where's my magic powers? It's done by faith. It says, however, you're not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if indeed the spirit of God dwells in you. How do we know the spirit of God dwells in you? It's when you accept Christ, you receive the spirit. But if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. If Christ is in you through the body, though the body is dead because of sin, not you, but sin, yet the spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. His spirit dwells in you. That's part of sanctification. Romans 15, 16. I'm not going to read them all, trust me. But I have written you very boldly to you on some points as to remind you again, because of the grace that was given me from God to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles, ministering as a priest of the gospel, so that my offering of the Gentiles may become acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Yeah. You have been sanctified.
You see,
so many verses deal with it. Amazing. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. You see what happens, Rick. Let's talk about the true, what will be the true Christian sanctification, which is not even a sanctification, but I'm just calling it that name so you can see the difference of religion and what God actually talks about, okay? It says to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Why does the Bible says to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ? Because in other letters, if you look at 1 John, what it says is that when we see Jesus Christ as to whom he is, we will actually see ourselves as to whom we are. So as to as if we start growing in a knowledge of who Jesus Christ is, we will understand who we are. So, you know, the way I try to explain this is that, you know, it's like if somebody let you have a brand new Lincoln Cadillac or a Lincoln Town Car or a Chevy or a Cadillac, you know, and you have here this brand new 2017 car with everything, all the whistles in that car, right? And you sit in that car is yours already. That car, somebody let you have it, everything that's inside of that car is yours. But now, There's a lot of little gadgets in that car that you don't even know what they're there, but they're there. You're yours. They're already yours. It's not like they're going to be given to you. They're yours already. But you're going to start touching them and handling them and understanding for what they're used for. And you're going to read that manual and see how the things are worked out inside of the car. You know, you got heated seats. You got 8-way adjustable chairs that you could use it for your comfort. I mean, you have a million things in that car that is for your comfort. You have them already, but you have to understand what they're used for. So that's what it is. That's why we have to understand Christ, because as we understand Christ, we understand ourselves, because we're the body of Christ already.
Because it's done.
It's done. We're kings and queens.
That's right.
We're part of God. And what they're telling you is different. What they're telling you with this sanctification garbage, what they're telling you is that you got to go out and buy a radio for the Lincoln Town Car, because it didn't come with the radio, you see. They're telling you that you better exchange that seat that Lincoln Town Car comes in, because there's a better seat out there. So you better exchange that seat for a better upgraded seat.
When the truth is, there's only one, it's all fully loaded, and you got every feature that the Bible ever talks about. You got all the gifts, all the blessings, everything is already there when you bought
everything.
It.
Yep. Everything.
And you bought it when you said, I believe. I love the way Paul deals with sanctification in coming to the result of. In Romans 6, 19 through 22, he says, I'm speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. Think about just that statement alone. Albert, it is true that those who are in religion, they have ears that do not hear. They have eyes that do not see. They do not have a true understanding of what righteousness is. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness. Now, how do we do that? Through the law, right? Because we can't keep it. We're slaves. Oh, it's got us bound in chains, resulting in further lawlessness because now you think thoughts and you do things because you can't keep the law. So you get frustrated and you just give up and then you do more sin, blah, 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 blah. So now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. How do we do that? It is, I am righteous. I'm a slave to righteousness because he did it for me. He made me righteous. Just as you felt when you felt that you could not keep the law and that you're not good enough, you feel that you are more than good enough and you can't get away from being good enough because of his righteousness made you more than good enough. And therefore, it results in sanctification. That's what he's talking about. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. Therefore, what benefit were you then deriving from the things which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death.
That's right. And there will always be death. The outcome of law is death. Let's go to Isaiah, Rick, to Isaiah 28:9, and see what's happening to the religious circles that we have today. The same thing that happened, like we said, what happens in the past happens in the future.
It says, whom will he teach knowledge? And whom will he make to understand the message? Those who are weaned from milk and drawn from the breasts? For it is precept on precept, precept on precept, line on line. And I think we did this in the NIV, and it seemed to make a little more sense. 28:9. Who is it he is trying to teach? To whom is he explaining the message? To children weaned from the milk, to those taken from the breast? For it is, do this, do that, a rule for this, a rule for that, a little here, a little there. Very well, then, with foreign lips and strange tongues, God will speak to his people. To whom he said, the resting place, this is the resting place. Let the weary rest. This is the place of repose. But they would not listen. Why would they not listen? Because they feel they have to do this, do that, a rule for this, a rule for that, a little here, a little there. Just rest, my children. Rest in him. Fear not, worry not, concern yourselves not. He has all of this under his wing and in control. Even the election.
And there's a warning. You see, remember what we talked about, history tends to repeat itself. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4.
Okay, we're in Hebrews 4. It says in Hebrews 4, starting in the beginning, is that where you want to start? Verse 1?
Yeah, verse 1.
Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have the good news proclaimed to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. Wrong. We got to go back to the King James on this one. Let us therefore fear lest a promise of being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being with faith in them that heard it. It isn't that we didn't have enough faith like them. Boy, what a horrible translation in IV on that one. This is that they didn't have faith. For we, which have believed, do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, that they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. When was the works finished? From the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on his wise, and God did rest the seventh from all of his works in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached enter not in because of unbelief.
Now let me ask you something, Rick. When they talk about this, listen to, for them who have been preached from the beginning of the world, there's a warning as to wolves in sheep's clothing coming into the church all the way from the beginning. What is this teaching of sanctification that the religions are teaching us? It's a teaching of works. In other words, what they're telling you is that you cannot rest because you're still lacking something.
Yeah.
That's what they're telling you. So it's a teaching of the devil. It's a teaching of religion. It's a teaching of the new world order.
If Christ did it inside you, what are you lacking?
You're not lacking nothing.
You're lacking
nothing. And that's the same. That's the same question that was asked to Adam and Eve. You know, remember the devil telling Adam and Eve that they were lacking something. Jesus or God was holding out on them. They were lacking something.
You're just, if you eat of this, shall you not be like God? It's the teaching of the law. It's not, he was right, but the wrong tree. He was pushing them towards the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which is law, because he knew if he could get them there, he could enslave them. Mm-hmm. That's where religion churches are
today.
Eat of the tree of life, you get it all. So you get to choose, which tree shall you eat from? Which tree shall you consume? The tree of knowledge of good and evil, or the tree of your works, your efforts? Or shall you consume the beautiful tree that God has laid before you? And that tree truly is the tree of life.
Can you imagine, Rick, if you're riding in a brand new Cadillac, you know, one of those brand new with everything on them, and here you go in 2070 Cadillac with, I mean, all the whistles in the car, everything, and you stop in this stop sign, and all of a sudden somebody comes to your window, knocks on your window, and you lower down your window, and he says to you, you know, that's a nice car, but you know that seat that you're on? Man, I got a better seat than that seat that you have, and it will make that car a better car. They cheated you in the factory when they gave you that seat, because there's actually a better seat out there for that car. Can you imagine that? And that's what we as Christians are being told in this religion circles. What we're being told is that, listen, what Christ actually gave you on the cross, there's actually out there something better than that. There's like
the computer, you know, there's an upgraded server
or an upgraded Windows that you could put in there. You know, what you have there, that seat that you're driving in, it's obsolete. We have something better for you. We could work on that. Let's go ahead. Get out of that car. That's what they're actually telling you. Get out of that car. In other words, get out of Christ. And let's start working and putting in there a better seat.
And you know what, Albert? Time is short. Time is very short. And we need to realize that he is coming, and he's coming soon. Nobody knows the day or the hour. We understand. But he said, you may know the season. We are definitely in the early stages of the season. It is coming. Who knows when exactly? He could come any day. If you believe, it said earlier, those who look for him shall and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Let's look at this in verses that deal with his coming. There truly are a ton of them, but we're going to look at them. Revelation 1:7, behold, he cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Hebrews 9:28, so Christ was once offered to bear the signs or the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. 1 Thessalonians, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. That is so true. And you don't know when he's coming. He could be coming tonight, today, tomorrow. You don't know. Are you prepared? Do you have your ERP in place? That's your eternal retirement plan. Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Revelation 19:11-16, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he does judge and make war. Think about people calling so many churches in evil. They teach Revelation 19 as the white horse, as the Antichrist. Is the Antichrist called Faithful and True for crying out loud? No. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Well, there's a whole series on that we need to talk about sometime. Matthew 25, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Revelation 3, and to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true. There it is. He that is true. Perfect. He that has the key of David, he that openeth, no man shutteth, and shutteth, no man openeth. Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant, John. He is coming. He's coming soon. How soon? Very soon. With that, Albert, would you mind guiding us into having communion with the Father so that we can experience the love that he has for each of us, Father?
Sure, Rick. I'll be glad to, Rick. You know, we have to learn and where our rest and our peace comes from and rest in it. This is his body. It's the body that was broken for all of us so we could become part of God. Eat it and remember this, that he broke this body so we could become part of him. When you eat this, where is that bread now? It's inside of you, just like his body. It's inside of you. Trust it for peace and for rest. Take this. This wine represents his blood, what he shed on the cross. It was the blood of the payment of the sins that were committed under that old covenant that had to be paid for. It had to be paid for. God had to pay for that in our behalf. Drink it and remember about the peace that God established for us. Enjoy it, drink it, celebrate it, take it. Christ is our salvation.
Very well done, my friend. Very well done. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I plead with you to do so. Time truly is short. All you have to do is repeat these words. Bow your head. Father, I know I can't do it on my own ability. I give it all to you. I believe on your Son, his death, his burial, and his resurrection unto life. I accept him as my Lord and my Savior forever. And I know that I need your mercy, and I receive your mercy in the name of Jesus Christ. I accept your mercy in the name of Jesus Christ. I receive the gift in the name of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. If you said that prayer, you are now a son of God, a daughter of God. And you are being celebrated by multitudes upon multitudes in heaven. If you have any pain and any suffering out there, and you want to be healed, lift your hands up and say, I receive. And the Father in heaven shall heal you by his Son and his holy name. In the name of Jesus Christ, hallelujah. Amen. We thank you for joining us here on God News Network, and you can also listen to us on saintswithoutwalls.com, youtube.com/God News Network, and also you can go to facebook.com/GNN Radio. Thank you. Be blessed and you are blessed.